pain-bearing and life-giving God, as we ponder your love for us from the foot of the cross, send your Holy Spirit that we might know your heart and be renewed in our living for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. Life can be a cocktail of emotions, as we heard earlier, as we recognise there have been deaths in the life of the church, but also births. And on Mothering Sunday, as we picked up in our prayers, today can be a mixture of emotions. Many in the congregation will be celebrating their mothers or being blessed by their family because they're a mum. For such as this, today is rightly a time of great joy. And we look forward to sharing daffodils around all the women in the church today to take home as we celebrate motherhood. But there will be for others that this day is a difficult one for them because perhaps their hope of becoming a mother hasn't materialized, or perhaps because they've lost a child or children, or who, like me, will be missing their mother today. Either because they live far away, perhaps in your home country or another country, perhaps you're estranged from them, or perhaps because she has died. My mum passed away in November 1997, 26 years ago, aged just 57, younger than I am now. And that's hard to accept, particularly now as my father has passed away too. So today can be a difficult day. It's hard to lose those who, by God's grace, have brought you into the world, who have nurtured you. And so today, I remember my mum and my dad, conscious that I'm not alone in that remembrance. I thank God for those who've heavily invested in you and me and may never fully see it in this life, the fruit of their labours of love. But I'm acutely aware that others grieve the loss of a child today, and I hold you in my prayers. My PA, our church administrator, Ollie, will find today very difficult, as I know others in the congregation will, awaiting the burial of Essa, her eldest son, and a member of the church. No parent ever wants to see a child die before them. But in our short gospel reading, it is about a mother who is in the process of losing her son in a most cruel, gruesome, undignified, and painful way through the humiliation of a barbaric crucifixion. An innocent man, Mary's precious son, was dying for her and for the whole of humanity. In just this moment, just try to feel the pain of that moment and ask the question, what kind of love is this? Well, we'll come back to that in a moment, but let me first rewind to consider the love of the two mothers that we've heard about in our readings, Hannah and Mary. In our Old Testament lesson, it was about Hannah and her son Samuel. On one occasion, the prayerful and devoted and childless Hannah had gone to the sanctuary to pray for a child. In tears, she vowed that if God granted her request, she would give the child back to God. Her desire was granted, and Hannah kept her vow. In response to God's mercy and faithfulness, she dedicated Samuel to God's service as a Nazarite. And the mother, Hannah, played her part. And as a result, Samuel went on to become a renowned man of God, a venerated prophet, Israel's last judge, but also a priest of Israel, dutiful, reliable, and faithful as well. So we think about Hannah and her influence as a mother. But what about Mary? The mother of Jesus, the chosen, obedient one, Mary, who together with Joseph played their part in bringing up the Son of God, the chosen, perfect Savior, Jesus. If they hadn't played their part, he wouldn't have walked upon this earth. And she was there throughout his life, of course, and here, seemingly at his end, we see her with the other women. Mysteriously, we don't know whether Mary went on to witness Jesus' resurrection. That's not actually recorded in the Bible, which is quite strange. Maybe she did. But here, we see the love of Mary for her child and the love of a son for the mother. Now, there are parallels in Hannah and Mary, two amazing women offering their lives to God and playing a crucial part in God's plan through their selfless, enduring love with faith, prayer, devotion, and obedience. And just after our reading in 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah's song, and you might want to read it when you go home, is a song of praise. It's important for its own sake, with its theme of reversing the status and fortune, making the full hungry and the hungry full, and raising up and bringing low. And yet that song is a foreshadowing of Mary's song that we call the Magnificat. It's interesting, the parallels in the songs. And we know from those songs, some of the values, some of the thoughts in there would have been an influence upon the children that they brought up. The two boys, Samuel and Jesus, were shaped by their mother's example as they grew up. One became the anointer of kings, and the other became the anointed king of kings. Hannah named her boy Samuel, which literally means heard by God, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." By contrast, Mary didn't ask for a baby, certainly not that baby. An angel gave her the name, and that she was to call her special child Jesus, meaning the same as Joshua, "The Lord is my salvation." Now, both Hannah and Mary gave up their sons to God. Hannah, in verse 28, said, "For the whole of his life he shall be given over to the Lord." And we know Jesus gave everything for his Father in heaven. I want to pause at this moment as we think about the lives of those two women. Who knows the full extent of the influence of parents upon their children's lives, for good or for ill? And let us recognize and never underestimate the power of love, prayer, faithfulness, nurture, obedience, all those things in parenthood. Not only upon the life of the individual, but upon our families, our communities, and the world. Those of us who are parents and grandparents, do we take seriously enough the example that we can set for others? And not only for those who are parents and grandparents. I like that phrase earlier, parents under God. All of us have an influence over other people. We're all part of extended families and friendship networks. And within those communities, there are younger people, but also our contemporaries, whom we have a job and a role to actually influence for good in our discipleship. Can we be people who are not about indoctrination, but our labor of love is to offer a respected, gentle witness to what we believe to be true and important? And of course, we're part of the church, a family, Mother Church. And being a part of Mother Church, we have the role of putting those values that we see in Hannah and Mary into practice together as we care and express the pastoral love of the church. Now, come with me to the foot of the cross for a moment and that last reading that we had. At the end of his earthly life, while Jesus was suffering on the cross, the Son gave his mother into the care of another, ready for his death, the beloved disciple John. a demonstration of the depth of his love for his mother in those moments. And it was also evidence of his obedience. Mary would have been now an older woman and most certainly a widow at that point in her life. And being the elder son, Jesus was obligated culturally to care for his mother. So he passed this on to one of his friends, despite Mary having sons. So why was that? Why did he pass the care on to the beloved disciple? Well, Jesus' brothers didn't become believers until after his resurrection. That may have been one reason, but also Jesus' brothers weren't there at that moment, at the crucifixion. But the beloved disciple was there, and Jesus was tenderly entrusting Mary to John, who was a believer and who was present. It's a reminder to us of the importance of being present when people need us. And the scripture clearly teaches the importance of caring for widows and the elderly. It's part of our mission in the church. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, would later call for such care for widows as being pure religion. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, he says, is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. What's more, in this passage we see the role of women being affirmed. The Reverend Norman MacLeod, in an excellent little book called The Seven Words of the Lord, writes these words, if I can read them. But at the cross, the women showed themselves to be the stronger. The male followers of the Master had forsaken him. But Mary Magdalene, the Virgin's sister, and the Virgin herself bravely took up their position beside Christ. MacLeod goes on, a man denied him, a man betrayed him, men nailed him on the cross, but no woman ever laid a finger in wronging him. Even in the smallest way, women rather ministered to him devoutly in the days of his flesh, and taking their lives sometimes into their hands, women do so still. I feel the power of those words, I don't know about you, because here we see an example in the women of enduring, selfless love. So as I reflect on all of this today, and there's much in these passages, I want to look at the cross and ask the question, what kind of love is this? Mothers, every parent, and in fact all of us might do the same. What do we see in Jesus? What do we see in Hannah and Mary? And how can that be manifest in our own lives? Well, let me offer a few examples. First of all, one, I see an enduring love that trusts. Just think about all three for a moment. Even when we can't see an instant answer to our prayers, do we have an enduring love that trusts? Even when we're going through that which is still to be, even when we're in the face of great suffering, even when we want justice rather than leaving it to God, even when life takes a wholly unexpected, unsettling, and perhaps devastating turn, do we have an enduring love that still trusts? The second thing is a selfless love that goes on giving. Just think for a moment of those that we've been reflecting on. Do we have that kind of love even when nothing is returned? Do we have a selfless love that gives when giving is met by abuse or is taken for granted? Even when we feel that we can give no more and compassion fatigue is setting in, even when it hurts so much, do we possess a selfless love that gives? And the third thing is a life-giving love that enables, even when we can't understand God's plan, even though we may never see the return of our labor, even when it involves forgiveness that is so tough, even when we think that people don't deserve it, do we possess that life-giving love that enables rather than destroys? Today, I'm inspired by Jesus' love. And as we go through Lent and we look to his example, as we look at all he went through in the cross, he identifies with us but goes on giving. He gave his all for you. He gave his all for me. And I'm also inspired by two mothers here, Hannah and Mary. I'm inspired by my own mum, Pat Miles. And I'm inspired by everyone who gives their all for others because it's our calling. Bryn Howarth's worship song, What Kind of Love Is This?, ends with these words. By grace I have been saved. It is the gift of God. He destined me to be his son or daughter. Such is his love. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, nor has the heart of man conceived. What kind of love is this? In short, it is the love of God. And I close with the words from 1 John 4, verse 10. And just think about Jesus as I read these words. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That's why Jesus commanded us to love one another and didn't ask us. He didn't often command, but he did command us to love. It's the business of the kingdom of God. And our calling is to go and do likewise and to be an influence for good on the lives of those around us. For love is my business, it's your business, and it's the business of the church. Amen. We're going to distribute some flowers among the congregation as we sing our last hymn. And I hope these flowers can be a symbol of what we are going to be celebrating in resurrection. As we remember, after winter comes the spring and new life. And if you're feeling tired in your loving at the moment, remember God's love for you. And he will enable new shoots of love to be born in your life if we go on trusting. So let's sing. Now, thank we.